Salutations! Welcome to the Body Slam Podcast right here at Gerwick.net. I am your host, Atlee Paul Green.
I'm Shane Daly, Leo Diamond, Ryan Andrews, pick a name.
And I am your mother.
No, you are not.
Why with the mom jokes?
That is Todd Graham.
That is Todd Graham. If you didn't know, now you know. That is Todd Graham.
Sucker.
Oh, jinx. Damn. But this is the non-topical podcast where we take a break from the hot news items of the week and talk about other issues in the world of pro wrestling, past news items. You know, we talk about days gone by in the world of professional wrestling. So basically, if Kevin Nash comes back and beats Randy Orton in 10 seconds in a house show for the WWE title,
like he should,
we're not going to talk about it.
Nope,
not happening here. But we are going to talk about WCW.
That's right, Woman Crush Wednesdays.
Dude, you just took the words right out of my mouth. You've been doing this all night.
But no, our topic is actually inspired by one of our listeners, Rayvon Adamson, who was kind enough to send in a question. And first of all, Rayvon, thank you very much for listening to the show. We certainly appreciate it. But he sent us a question that we're all going to talk about in detail about WCW. So I think it was a great question, and it's such a great question that we've dedicated an entire podcast to it.
Yes.
So I'm going to read the question, and we're all going to kind of give our opinions on the
That's
on the
a great
subject.
Question.
No, it's not. But this question is.
Oh, okay.
So, hi, my name is Rayvon Adamson. Big fan of your wrestling podcast. Been a fan of wrestling since I was a little boy. I have a question for you. My question is, if WCW didn't go out of business back in 2001, how long do you think it would have lasted? And do you think Eric Bischoff would have some young guys pushed as main eventers? Now, first, again, Rayvon, thank you very much for the question. But that has always been one of the marks against Eric Bischoff, is being able to recognize talent. Because when you compare WCW's pay-per-views during the boom period compared to WWE's pay-per-views, as far as the match quality, WCW's pay-per-view started off strong and ended horribly. WWE's, you know, started off pretty good and got better as it went along, which is how you want your show to go.
Right.
And WCW didn't really do that with their pay-per-views. Now, if they were still in business today, would he have pushed some young talent today? Well, I think if WCW was still in business in 2014, he'd have to.
Because,
brother. You know, Hogan, you know, Flair, those guys just wouldn't be able to cut it anymore. They would not be able to wrestle anymore. He'd have to, but the bad part about that is besides Bill Goldberg, Eric Bischoff was not that good at recognizing talent because he was so preoccupied with sticking with the already established talent that he brought in with Ted Turner's money, you know, with Hulk Hogan, with Randy Savage, with Sting, with Flair, with Bret Hart, Hall, Nash, the list goes on and on. He really didn't pay much attention to the younger guys on the roster, you know, the Malenkos, the Jerichos,
the
Eddie Guerreros, the Booker T's. You know, I mean, some people point to, well, Booker T was a WCW World Heavyweight Champion. This is true, but it took Vince Russo to book that to make it happen, not Eric Bischoff. So that's the thing. I mean, in 2014, Bischoff would have no choice but to push some new talent. But would he have?
Well, my question is, are we treating this almost like fantasy booking at this point?
Well, I think we have to at this juncture.
All right. So let's put the ground rule down now, since fantasy booking is one of my favorite things. Let's put the ground rule down now. Are we saying that WCW continued from 2001 without the selling of WCW, or are we saying Eric Bischoff picked up the ball when they sold it?
I think for this, we go along with Eric Bischoff picked up the ball and sold it, because that's what was going to happen until the TV show got canceled. Until once TNT canceled Nitro,
Fusion Media backed out.
Exactly, they backed out, so WCW was worthless without primetime television. But let's say that didn't happen,
yep,
and Bischoff picked up the ball and ran with it, it would have been a different story, because you got to think of one thing. Again, besides Goldberg, he really didn't create any other stars, number one. Number two, I mean, some people say, yeah, what about Jericho? What about Booker T? What about Eddie Guerrero? Those guys great wrestlers. They really added to the depth of talent WCW had, but they became known in WCW, but they didn't become superstars until they worked for Vince McMahon. So you can't put their success on Eric Bischoff.
Do we have Turner's money?
No, actually, no, because that's the thing. With Eric Bischoff, he would have bought with his own money. So he would have been more cautious of what he spent money on as far as talent, as far as TV shows and whatnot. Eric Bischoff, with his own money, using somebody else's money, is not Ted Turner. Because the thing is, Fuchsia Media, you know, I don't know much about them, but they obviously don't have the pockets of Ted Turner.
No.
Plus, you got to remember, Ted Turner is a very big wrestling fan.
Yes.
So he was willing to spend more money on pro wrestling than most investors would.
All right. Here's another thought, and you guys can say yay or nay to this. In terms of doing this fantasy booking, let's say Bischoff buys the company, they lose Turner, they lose TNT. But they still have a television network who's basically saying, hey, if those drama guys don't want wrestling, we'll take wrestling. And let's just say it's on the same level as TNT, but with a different demographic. Back then, they didn't really have Spike TV just yet, but that might be the channel that they'd need. Because Spike gets behind wrestling, you know, something of that nature. I know it was TNN and then it was Spike, but let's just say
another... But you wouldn't be able to give them Spike TV because... Basically, ECW on TNN was the test pilot to see if wrestling would work in the network, and then eventually went with WWE. So you have to take Spike TV out of the equation.
All right, so USA is buying WCW's contract when they leave the network.
That's a very good option. Very good option.
Fox, one of the Fox stations.
No. Back then, USA would have done anything to get back at the WWE.
Because their relationship ended on a very poor note after years of... WWE provided great television and great ratings for USA.
They left because there was some new person there decided that they didn't want wrestling on USA. It had nothing to do with.
Well, they would have kept it. Believe me.
If it was the number one rated show every week.
Two sides could have come to a deal, especially with the ratings back then.
Yeah.
With the ratings money that Raw was putting in during the Attitude Era, they tried like crazy to keep that show, but. At the same time, when negotiating with somebody that wants to keep property but doesn't have respect for it, it's very hard to negotiate.
What's the old ECW line? WWE traded in filet mignon for hamburger when they went to Spike. Because Spike, although it was different and new, they didn't have... Or TNN at the time. They were the Nashville network.
But you also have to remember, Spike TV...
They became the national network.
Spike TV changed their entire network for Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
I mean, they overhauled it completely. That was because of Monday Night Raw.
Okay.
Going on their network. And plus, they had an uphill battle for a little bit because Monday Night Raw, not everybody had Spike TV. And as Spike TV, you know, popularity became bigger and bigger as a result of Raw, they got more homes. But we're digressing.
Okay.
I mean, basically, what we're saying is Spike TV would not have been an option for a Eric Bischoff-owned WCW.
Yes.
However, keep this equation, Todd. You probably already thought this, but keep this in mind. In 2001, ECW still would have gone out of business.
Okay.
And the talent would have had two options, WCW or WWE. So with that said, if you're thinking as Eric Bischoff, who does he go after?
All right. Geez, that's a good question. Oh, what about the Turner contract? Goldberg, Hogan... The guys who basically had the choice to sit around or take a buyout.
Well, I think if you're working with Eric Bischoff's money, he kind of realizes, you know what, I actually gotta use my own money, and I think you pay for Goldberg, you pay for Hogan, because the thing is,
and DDP would stay.
He wasn't letting Hogan go.
Oh, DDP was staying, and Booker T was staying. Because you gotta remember this. Booker T and DDP, when they went to WWE, they took a buyout. They could have sat out on that contract and made more money sitting down doing nothing, but they decided, hey, I want to work, and more importantly, I want to work for WWE before it's all said and done. Right. So they took the buyout. Goldberg wasn't getting, no matter what deal he could have struck with Vince McMahon, he wasn't getting his WCW salary. That's why he got the $1 million a year. For the rumor was he got $1 million a year for only working TV. No house shows, no appearances, no nothing, just TV. And not even just TV, just Raw and pay-per-views. No SmackDown, no house shows, no personal appearances, no overseas tours, literally Raw in pay-per-views. And he didn't work every Raw. He didn't work every pay-per-view either. And he got $1 million a year for doing that. And he got a lot more money in WCW, but Vince McMahon wasn't giving him, was not matching his WCW contract.
No, hell no.
But I think Bischoff would have, even with the investors' money or his own money, because he, I think in the back of his mind, he realizes that Bill Goldberg is the guy he created.
Yes.
And you want to hold on to that.
Yes.
And plus, when you're dealing with, you know, going over different promotions in wrestling, most people like to deal with the devil they know instead of the devil they don't know.
This is true.
So.
Well, Sting. Sting would have been prevalent. The reason he didn't go to WWE in the first place was because they were afraid of what they were going to do with his character.
Exactly. Because once they bought WCW, he actually said one of the things that made him not go to WWE when the invasion angle happened was he saw a promo with The Rock and Booker T. And The Rock said, Who are you?
Yeah.
But the thing, though.
At the time, you could have said that about Booker T.
Well, the thing is, I mean, I think Sting was kind of taking things too seriously because that was The Rock's character.
Yeah.
He was like, it doesn't matter what your name. He said it to everybody.
Did that to Jericho, and they all got over
exactly.
on him.
Exactly. So, I mean, I think Sting was taking that a little too seriously. But I think Sting still would have been with Eric Bischoff. But you got to remember, too, Sting has almost jumped to WWE many times. Again, he actually almost went to WWE in 1999. He was very close to going, but WCW gave him a raise, and he got his contract, no house shows and no Thunder. Sting's contract started a trend where a lot of big name wrestlers contractors up. Basically no Thunder and no house shows. So, I mean, that was a big deal. And Sting was the one that kind of ushered that in. Maybe Bischoff would have done whatever it took to keep him. But let's talk about some of the talent that was available in 2001. And also think about the indie talent that was out there. In your opinion, Todd, who would Bischoff be looking at?
2001?
Yes. Still in wrestling's boom period.
We're still in wrestling's boom period, but ROH is another year off. I don't know where guys like Joe and Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson and Punk and Colt Cabana, I don't know where those guys were in 2001. I would imagine they didn't just fall out of the sky when ROH started, but
I believe Punk was in IWA Mid-South or something.
Yes.
Yeah, IWA, tearing it up with Chris Hero.
You got Daniel Bryan, he was working a lot. See, actually, Daniel Bryan in 2000, like, not 2000, 2001, had a WWE developmental deal.
Yeah.
Yes. He got one. Yep. Him and Spanky and Shooter Schultz and Lance Cade both got WWE deals very shortly after trade because, you know, they were trained by Shawn Michaels. But they worked for the Texas Wrestling Alliance, which is Shawn Michaels' independent promotion.
Yeah.
In Texas. They also worked several tours with FMW in Japan.
Right.
And then after about a year or so, the only guy they kept was Lance Cade. They cut everybody else.
I'm thinking Bischoff would have saw, like, because they released Daniel Bryan, they released Danielson, and I think maybe Bischoff might have said, all right, if we're gonna have to do a youth movement. If we're gonna do a youth movement, who better, not to lead it, but who better to bring in than the guy who Triple H, the guy who Shawn Michaels trained? Oh, and you know damn well Loki would be there. Although Loki wouldn't put anybody over.
Oh, shoot.
I heard a story about him not wanting to put over Claudio, Cesaro, you know, the human horse.
Was that in Ring of Honor or WWE?
Ring of Honor, I think. He's like, he didn't want to put him over. I'll lose by DQ. was like,
what do you mean I have to put over Hulk Hogan?
I'd like some chamomile tea with lemon. if you were going to go with the youth movement, Daniel Bryan was made available. Low-key valued his contracts with Japan, so maybe he wouldn't have been around full-time, but they could have got him. Low-key was big in those post-WCW promotions that kept coming out, XWF that Hogan ran. That's another thing. If you also look at the XWF roster that came out around that time, which not many people know about, you had guys like Kid Cash.
Mr. Perfect.
You had Low-key. You had Kurt Hennig, but he wasn't Redneck. And then you had Hogan. You could have still got Hogan.
You had the
Hogan probably. Hey, if
the Nasty Boys,
the Road Warriors, the Shane Twins, the Public Enemy, The Nasty Boys and the Public Enemy. I mean, look, I popped when they put the Dudleys in the ring with the Nasties and that TNA comeback in 2010. Just because I was just like, it's going to be a train wreck. But at least we're... Look, if I saw that on a marquee, I'd be like, I'm going in once. I'm going to go see this once. Couldn't say the real line that goes with that joke.
Sure you can. No, you can't.
No, I can't.
You know, I bet Van Damme would have ended up with WCW because the chalkboard was smaller.
Well, I don't... You know what? I would have to count out Hogan because if you told me... This is about mid-2001. Let's say Bischoff did the smart thing where it was like WCW went out of business and he decided to take about a month off just to get... It was like, okay, WCW's gone. Now whatever comes out next is not to be confused with WCW. But clearly it's WCW, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. We're still going to acknowledge the fact that Sting is an 1,800-time champion and Ric Flair is the man who laid the golden eggs. And,
woo!
Ow. I'm the only one with headphones on.
Does Bischoff bring Steiner along? Do you guys remember what Scott Steiner was doing before WCW went out of business?
Yeah, going into business for himself, and you know how much we hate that. Flexi Lexi would probably still be there. Although, for what reason? I don't know! For anybody who gets that reference. What I was saying about Hogan was it's about mid 2001 that I'd say this gets back in, maybe summertime. If Vince said, all right, there's another promotion on the horizon and Hulk is going to, you know, and let's say they went through with business like they used, that they did, Nash, Scott Hall, and Hogan wind up back in the WWE, and WrestleMania 18 still happens, and they turn Hogan babyface, and then they still... And then George...
And then Scott Hall ends up in rehab.
No. And George Foreman still wins the World Boxing Championship, and they decide to put the belt on another old man like Hulk Hogan. If you'd have told Hulk Hogan he was going to get another title run, then, yeah, he ain't going to be available for WCW. Promise you that. But yeah, if you take into consideration some of the talent that was available, not to mention ECW, if you asked me today who I would have said WCW should have picked up and ran with from ECW...
I mean,
ECW,
basically, to kind of put it out there, if you are Eric Bischoff's right-hand man and ECW is just folded and you're thinking of, okay, this is not Ted Turner's money and this is pretty much Eric Bischoff's money, who do you recommend that Eric Bischoff goes after?
Steve Corino.
Interesting.
Steve Corino... was very interesting in ECW. A couple years, like, they did that short run with him for the title. They made him the smarmy character that he was. But fast forward 4 years, and Steve Corino is one of the best in the world, as far as I'm concerned. Like, he's great on the microphone. He's a great wrestler. Never got the recognition he should have. He was this generation's Jerry Lynn.
And Steve Corino is a great pick. It's a fascinating pick.
Yeah.
And I think it's a great pick because I think Bischoff, you need great wrestlers, but you also need great entertainers. And Steve Corino gives you the best of both worlds.
Hey, the Extreme Horseman? Bring that to WCW?
That would have been phenomenal.
Would have worked.
Now, do you put Steve Corino as a cruiserweight, or do you put him... Do you ignore the fact that he's small and push him as one of the, you know, heavyweights, if you will?
In about 2004, he was Benoit's size. In terms of, not necessarily bulk, but he was about that size, that build. Not like super muscular, but he was definitely in shape and about that size. And that was about the time that Eddie and Benoit had the belts. So it wouldn't have been out of the ordinary to have... I mean, granted, there's also the question of how do you differentiate from the WWE... But at the same time, hey, if they want little talented wrestlers, then that's maybe something we can copy. Don't be WWE light, like TNA did for so many years.
Do you go after Rhino, considering was basically a shorter version of Goldberg? Because you already have the real deal in Goldberg. So do you just let WWE have him?
Rhino was already signed to WWE, I believe, at that time.
And not very good.
No, but here's the thing. You got to remember, if WCW was still in play, the business would change completely. Everybody's decisions would have been totally different, knowing that there were still two games in town. But once ECW and WCW went out of business basically the same time, there was only one game in town, so you got while the getting was good, and you made the best offer WWE as possible.
Wasn't Rhino... Rhino was at WrestleMania 17, wasn't he?
Yep.
So in that case...
Got involved in that match.
In that case, he had signed with them before WCW even... I mean...
No, but the writing was on the wall. You knew WCW was going out of business. I mean, it was rumored since December of 2000. Mm. So the writing was on the wall, where at ECW was kind of different, where people... Nobody in ECW wanted to believe it was true.
Mm.
So they kind of went on as business as usual until there was no more business being
as
done.
As usual.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there is a possibility Rhino kind of looks at negotiations differently and says, you know what? But one thing I do want to... And Ravon actually talked about you pushing younger guys. I believe he, without a doubt, he would have pushed younger guys, not only because he would have had to, especially in 2014, but also one fact that people kind of forget about with Eric Bischoff is that in 2001 or 2002, he was the president and the executive producer of the Mat Rats promotion in Calgary.
Teddy Hart.
Teddy Hart was the star. Harry Smith also wrestled there. Jack Evans, for you independent wrestling fans, also Blitzkrieg. He was there as well. And
was he Blitzkrieg?
He was Blitzkrieg.
Wow.
He was the new Blitzkrieg, actually. They did a deal with you in, I think it was Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. I mean, I could be wrong, but it was on a California independent show where the original Blitzkrieg basically gave him the gimmick in a promo. It was like, here's the promo. Now, yeah. I could be wrong on what the promotion was, but it was a show in California.
Okay.
But the whole pro, it was basically, Mat Rats was an MTV-style show where the youth was pushed. The youth format was pushed. The youth movement.
So he was already halfway in that direction.
Yeah, so he knew that, and it was. And he even said that it's going to be basically when he films the matches for the half hour format, it was going to be the best spots of the match, and you're going to see people basically clubbing it up, you know, drinking, partying, dancing, as well as show people while wrestling can be a fun activity to watch while you're at the club.
Mm-hmm.
Is the whole? I mean, the real world for MTV had their biggest. The highest rated season ever with the Las Vegas season.
Yeah.
During that time.
Is that floating around somewhere, like the Mat Rats promotion?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's happening Mat Rats. Yeah. I mean, you'll see some Teddy Hart, Jack Evans matches. So Bischoff already knew, okay, youth movement is very important. My only concern about his him doing things is the fact that you know he would still have Hulk Hogan involved. Even if Hulk Hogan wasn't wrestling, Hulk Hogan would be on board, he'd be getting a paycheck, and he would be a consultant of some type.
I touched on this a second ago. I think if we go the route that the NWO still came back at No Way Out and Hogan wrestled...
Okay.
If he was still at Mania, Mania still happened, Foreman still won the heavyweight championship, thus making Vince go, oh, okay, I don't know when Foreman won the belt back. Was it
around there? It was actually the same time Bob Backlund in 94 won the belt. From Bret Hart.
Oh, so that's what that was.
They were capitalizing on that.
But they saw how popular Hogan was at Mania. Of course, they were going to give him another shot
exactly.
at the title. So let's just say Hogan stuck the WWE until at least 2003. My question is, here we go. If history continued, and you know it wouldn't have, but if history continued down the path that it did with the WWE, and I'm going to ask you this because I think there's one answer to this. What main WWE talent could they have stolen away and done something with if they were going with the youth movement in 2002?
You know, I mean, that is a very tough question. Maybe Edge?
No. I'm not talking about somebody who wasn't available.
Okay.
I'm talking about somebody who got made available. And that young man at that time, who was perfectly willing to give up his body for the business but wouldn't go to rehab... Jeff Hardy was released from his WWE contract around that time. So that could have easily... They could have come to him and
went... In 2001?
2002.
Okay.
I'm saying let it move. Like, if things happen... Well, you know,
are you sure 2002?
Are you sure?
So I remember him wrestling on No Way Out in 2003.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Because I remember a promo we did with Shawn Michaels where he said, you know what? I'm going to start kicking ass around him. I'm going to start with you, and then Michaels hit him with a super kick.
Well, let's say, all right. Sorry, that is right. But let's say hypothetically.
Well, I think it was during WrestleMania 24 or maybe 23. Sometime in that decade, he was released.
Yeah.
And
no,
Bischoff would have grabbed him.
He definitely wasn't around in 04. But let's just say they said, hey, we need you to go to rehab. And Jeff went, well, there's another option, so screw that. And ended up leaving early anyway. I went out of my contract. Wait the 90 days, come back, come to WCW. and have Bischoff book you like, okay, you're the lightweight messiah. You know, like
I mean, the fact of the matter is Bischoff's track record with pushing young talent is questionable, but he's proven that he, you know, in 2001 that he really recognized a youth movement was needed in pro wrestling. However, his track record speaks volumes as far as knowing what to do with established WWE guys, save Bret Hart.
Right.
So I think he would have known, okay,
This Hardy kid,
you know, Vince didn't, like, put the rocket on his back, but I'm going to.
If Jeff Hardy came on board around the time that Todd's suggesting, Sugar Shane Helms, who was already a big deal in WCW at the time, he was the WCW Cruiserweight Champion when it went out.
Yep.
And they were making a big deal of him. They had, like, dancers in there, like, girls dancing for him and everything. I mean, if you brought in one of his best friends, Jeff Hardy, at that time, and if Jeff Hardy had any influence in Eric Bischoff, like, if he was in, you know, Eric Bischoff, you know, his ear, I mean, that could have been a huge boost for Shane Helms.
And then there was the untested at the time, Jamie Noble, who became the Ring of Honor Rookie of the Year that one year he was in ROH. Proved himself worthy of being considered one of the best wrestlers in the world.
Didn't he win the Ring of Honor title?
Won the Ring of Honor title. Beat CM Punk. Beat CM Punk on the way out the door.
Repeat that again, Todd.
Jamie Noble beat CM Punk for the ROH World Championship on the way out the door. After Punk was ready to leave. So the summer of Punk ended with James Gibson, a.k.a. Jamie Noble, beating him for the ROH Championship.
Now, here's the other thing with WCW and Eric Bischoff run WCW. Does he get rid of the Cruiserweight division and just push everybody on their own merits? Size doesn't matter. Or is there still a Cruiserweight division? And you kind of... Because the thing is, you had the world title, you had the U.S. title, which is the Intercontinental title, essentially.
Yeah.
Do you maybe make the TV title the pseudo-Cruiserweight title, if you will?
In a matter of speaking, because back in the day, you know, when titles mattered, they didn't really have a light heavyweight champion. Now, it's not like today, like Ryan, or you were in Ryan's idea back when Echo was going to try and lift off the ground, for those of you who don't know, tried to run a promotion where the idea of a light heavyweight title and a heavyweight title were pretty much on the same level, much like the UFC. Because those champions, it doesn't matter how much they weigh, they're still the best fighters in the world.
I mean, a Barao fight as much as I'll watch Velasquez fight.
Last Saturday, the UFC pay-per-view was headlined by two guys that weigh 170 pounds.
Not to mention, wasn't there a UFC pay-per-view recently where the fight of the night was the ladies' match?
And it was a main event as well. 135-pound women were the main event, and they drew over 600,000 buys.
Which proves to me that...
That was a great armbar Ronda Rousey threw.
That's all she can do. I don't know anything about this sport.
It didn't end in an armbar, and I'm not sure why.
Alberto Del Rousey.
I love it.
But no, I would look at it like instead of classifying by weight, because they should have stolen from TNA what didn't exist, that no limits X division rule. Even though that was a light heavyweight championship, there was still no weight limit, hence why Samoa Joe was able to capture the championship. But what you do is you make, all right, here's the world's championship, or whatever the promotion, so let's say it's still WCW, it's the WCW championship, been held by whatever, if you really want to use the lineage. Television champion, U.S. champion, whatever. You know, however many people you got on the roster determines how many belts you got.
The Saskatchewan Hardcore International title.
Oh, that was the... Well, I can't say it. but, no, don't classify by weight.
I agree, because the thing is, when you look at the WCW television championship during the boom period, the NWO was hot and heavy, Fast and Furious, whatever you want to call it, the WCW television title was used as the experimental phase for cruiserweights. If there were certain WCW cruiserweights that Bischoff felt could make it as a regular singles act without the cruiserweight designation, he put the TV title on him first.
Mm-hmm.
Did it with Alex Wright. Did it with Eddie Guerrero. Did it with Chris Jericho. Did it with Chavo Guerrero. He put the U.S. title on Dean Malenko.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that was, you know, he did it with Prince Iaukea.
Mm, yes.
So, I mean, hold the
TV Prince title? Wacky Jackie,
no.
Yeah.
Maybe that was the U.S. title. My so, bad.
And you also,
yes, he did. He did hold the U.S. title.
And not only that, but if you're Eric Bischoff and you want a good movement, you want a good wrestling mind on the team. Now let's think about WWE at around this time. At the top, let's go to 2002. At the top of the card, you have Hulk Hogan, grizzled veteran, old man. Triple H, getting there in terms of age. grizzled old looking fella. Undertaker. He's dead already. But it's like you got all these older guys at the top, not a lot of young people. However, down south in WCW, they got all these young guys with a lot of really good talent. They just need something to mold them. So Pat Patterson jumps from the E. Jumps from the E and goes help Eric Book. See, you had no idea I was going in that direction. But, theoretically, if my belief that he's a pervert is correct, then he may have done that. Now, all kidding aside, Pat would probably never leave Vince's employ. But if you really, if you want me to be serious about it, I think if he could have swayed somebody like Patterson, somebody like an Ernie Ladd, somebody like just a really experienced hand when it comes to, stop laughing, when it comes to agenting and booking, then they really could have done a whole lot more with that knowledge than what Eric Bischoff is able to provide.
I mean, okay, I completely agree with you on that, but let's kind of switch gears to the 2001 era specifically.
Okay.
Knowing what we know now, because I don't think he would have retained the services of Hulk Hogan, Scott Hall, and Kevin Nash.
Nope.
Knowing, and then basically he buys WCW with his own money, somebody else's investor's money. He's in charge now. He can't delegate like he did in WCW. He has to make more of the decision because everything rides on him now.
Yep.
You got to stop making new stars from the get-go. So, obviously, I think he would do the safe thing and probably put the belt on Goldberg. But then the question...
As a heel.
No, the heel thing didn't work in 2000.
But they did it wrong. If they had maintained Goldberg's streak and let every building in the world boo him out to the point where it's like, yay, Goldberg's undefeated! Yeah, we've seen this before. You know, I'm really getting tired of seeing this. And if they had just stuck with it and let the whole crowd hate Goldberg, then he could have been beating guys for 8 seconds.
But in January 2001, they were on track of...
They were already off the horse. Yeah,
he was a babyface again. But in my opinion, I mean, they have to make a new star, so I think the safe bet is they put the belt on Goldberg, and then they build a heel to eventually take it off of Bill Goldberg, but then through that, they build a babyface to take it off that heel. And they stop building new stars from there because he has to at this point. I think he would recognize. I think he would recognize with the NWO threesome. He'd have to.
Lance Storm would have been a great heel.
You stole the name right out of my mouth.
I mean,
yes.
If Lance Storm is, you know, I mean, obviously not beating everybody every week, but like, you know, dismantling people's body parts with all of his like submission holds and his wrestling like knowledge. I mean, you know, that would be one of those things where it's like, okay, is it going to be the guy with the brains or the guy with the brawn that's going to walk away?
I mean, Lance Storm is a fantastic worker. In multiple areas, because, I mean, he wasn't the greatest promo in the world, but he was getting better in WCW because Vince Russo put the microphone in his hand every chance he could, so he was getting better. And I think under the tutelage of Eric Bischoff, he would have gotten better as well. But Lance Storm...
Terrible haircut, though.
But the thing is, Lance Storm is a guy, you know, the proof is in the pudding with his current wrestling school up in Calgary.
Mm-hmm. Oh, ability, absolutely. You know, absolutely. Can't be matched.
That guy could pull a great match out of Goldberg because Lance Storm knows where a guy's weak and where a guy's strong. And if he was working heel against Bill Goldberg and he was going to become the champion...
Mm-hmm.
Lance Storm would know what to do.
That's a funny thing. It's funny that you mentioned
that.
And
Ryan, perfect. I really think that the 2001 WCW, you need a heel. Lance Storm's the guy that take the belt off of Goldberg. Now, obviously, unfortunately, you can't have Goldberg lose clean.
Taser gun.
I don't want, no.
Two of them.
No. So, I mean,
Petey Williams.
It would have been a screw job finish, but it would have been done in a way where it was believable and it didn't insult everybody's intelligence.
Canadian Destroyer.
But
the last one would have been the perfect guy because, you know, obviously Goldberg outpowers him, you know, and he's bigger than him, but he can match move for move with Goldberg, and he can frustrate him as well. And plus, Lance Storm's promos were getting better and better as it went along in WCW. Mm-hmm. I think he could have sold the match. Plus, Bill Bischoff's a good promoter, too. Without talking about a booker, just being a booker, Bischoff can promote.
And this, but the big problem here, the big elephant in the room is, Goldberg ain't going for that. Like, we also have to remember, there's a lot of egos. when it comes to the people. I've seen egos on people at $10 wrestling shows. And
oh, of course.
And not only that, but Lance Storm tells the story himself where it was him and Elix Skipper against Goldberg in a handicap match. And Elix wanted to do the Matrix, like the duck under, and then immediately get speared out of his shoes and get killed. And then, of course, Goldberg nixed it because, nah, it'll make Goldberg look embarrassed. We can't have that.
I think in a WCW as it was, absolutely, but I think Goldberg would have to check his ego because of the fact that he knows that this isn't the ATM of Ted Turner.
But do they have the money to do that?
You know, this is 2000.
The money to what?
To get Goldberg to do that. Because remember, we're also looking at it like he can sit at home and collect that money.
Well, here's the thing. I think that the thing is you buy contracts when you buy WCW.
Mm-hmm.
And I think out of all the contracts Bischoff looks at, there are a lot of overpriced ones and there are a lot of marginal ones, a lot of ones that are reasonable. If there's one talent he's going to overpay for, it's probably Bill Goldberg.
Mm.
It's probably Goldberg, considering he created the guy, he knows what Bill Goldberg means to the business. And
he'll sign on with that money pit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the thing is even with that money that he's getting paid, even if it's still the same money that WCW was paying him, Todd's still right. We're talking about the 2001 mind frame of Bill Goldberg. We're not talking about, you know, someone like Brock Lesnar now who's saying, you know, pin me, pay me. You know, we're thinking about a guy who still thinks that...
Who still believes the hype.
Jericho hasn't beaten him up yet back in 2001, right,
so,
Goldberg. Jericho hasn't beaten him
okay,
up.
Okay, so let's put a different spin on this. Let's say it's not Lance Storm. And the idea is, okay, you get the belt, you put the belt on Goldberg for a little bit, drive ratings back up, and then you have him lose to a heel. You probably got to look at Scott Steiner as the heel. I mean, I don't think Goldberg's complaining about losing to Scott Steiner. And then the question is, who is the babyface you use to go over on Steiner for the belt, thus creating a new star in the process?
As it was suggested earlier, now, again, I don't know how right Todd's timing was on this, but if Jeff Hardy signed with that company, Jeff Hardy is that babyface.
And you can have, I mean, I don't know, I don't, I agree, but at the same time, I mean, there's got to be someone else to think about, but if it was Hardy.
Oh, I know.
Whoever it is, Steiner.
You guys are gonna love my pick.
Steiner's. Brell. We're gonna get
Brell.
We're gonna get more Brell.
Oh, jock ass.
That's what they needed to do. They needed to get Brell to be a consultant. Well, if it was Hardy, even if it was anybody light, you could have Steiner come in just like, I'm the genetic freak and nobody can beat me and my arms are bigger than your head because I put a tennis ball in there. And they could be doing all that and you know, have the faster guy go over on the really muscle bound fellow.
Roll up.
With a roll up, yep, that's how I would book it. But I gotta hear, what's your idea?
I can tell you exactly who Eric Bischoff would have picked to be the new guy.
Mm.
Sean O'Hare.
Oh.
Okay, I mean, Sean O'Hare is a kind of a name that's lost in pro wrestling's past. I mean, people forgot about Sean O'Hare. You gotta remember, in 2000, 2001, people thought Sean O'Hare was the second coming of Christ.
The natural born thriller.
Everybody thought Sean O'Hare was the Messiah. Everybody thought Sean O'Hare was the next big thing.
Never heard that.
A 6'8" guy.
Sean
who would do
Ton
a moonsault,
bomb.
A swanton bomb. Jacked as hell. Swanton bomb. I remember when WWE bought WCW. And then like a week later, WWE listed the names of the contracts they purchased. Everybody was like, Sean O'Hare's going to be the man. Sean O'Hare's going to be the man.
But I'm not telling you something you don't already know.
It didn't work out in WWE. His career did not work out in WWE. And the reason it didn't, because actually Bob Evans and Steve Bradley, God rest his soul, told me that, because Steve Bradley at that time was in developmental with WWE, and they sent a lot of the WCW guys that were into thrillers to developmental Heartland Wrestling. And one of the things that they did that they noticed about the thrillers, including Sean, especially Sean O'Hare, was that he was 6'8", but when he got in the ring, he looked like he was 5'8". Because he slouched a lot, he didn't use his size, he wasn't comfortable in his own skin, and as a result, you couldn't get that performance out of him. But in WCW, they're not really going over that as much. People can ignore that because they did a good job of hiding his weaknesses to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And I think and
he ain't having a headlock.
Plus,
match.
They were pushing him and Palumbo before they went out of business. They were pushing. I mean, they went over a DDP.
The perfect event.
Exactly. I mean, they were pushing Palumbo and O'Hare strong. So I think Bishop would have made Sean O'Hare would be a former WCW World Heavyweight Champion. Would have been the new big baby face of that company.
I don't know
if it would have worked out, but I think Bischoff would have done that. And plus, especially the IWC, a lot of people bought Sean O'Hare. A lot of people were buying that stock. Mm. A lot of people. Me included. I thought Sean O'Hare, once he gets that push in WWE, he's taking off. It didn't work.
No. Nope. Same goes with Mordecai. That could have worked.
But folks, that is going to do it for the...
One more thing.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm going to let Ryan go first.
Okay, I'm just throwing this out there because this is only going to take 2 seconds. Longest reigning United States champion WCW of all time. Above average Mike Sanders.
He was writing for Heat at one point, so maybe. All right, here's the final question for all of us. USA buys up the contract for WCW. They're going to air Nitro. I don't know about Mondays, but they're going to air Nitro.
I think at this point, Thunder's gone.
Thunder is gone. They want one show, one brand, 2 hours. Make it a good 90 minutes because with commercials. USA comes to you and says, in 6 months, we're giving you 6 months to a year. What's going to beat Vince's TV? So my question is, what's going to beat Vince's TV? But let's also play it like this. It's still going down the way WWE did it. So let's say 2002. That's a hard time to beat. Especially with Mania, because you had Hogan and Rock, and that's when Hogan was back again. So what do we put up against Hogan's revival as champion shortly after WrestleMania in an attempt to win WCW fans back?
Bill Goldberg versus The Ultimate Warrior. Hogan's gone. The Ultimate Warrior.
Interesting.
I think slow and steady wins the race in that particular thing. I don't think you're doing it 6 months, even though you have to try because USA is telling you to do so.
Yep.
But you got to remember with USA, you're on an NBC-owned network, so you have access to celebrities and promotion that Vince McMahon doesn't at this point. So that's in the favor of Eric Bischoff. So they can infuse a lot of celebrity involvement and whatnot. I think they buy up. I think one thing that helps them, you know, in the races, they get as many of the ECW guys as possible. Simply because TNN never gave ECW a fair shot. It was a test pilot for them. They didn't really use ECW as a content that was going to make their network more valuable. And a lot of people always thought that WWE took a lot of what ECW did and created the Attitude Era, which there's a lot of validity to that, considering how everything panned out. And a lot of people always thought if people really saw where this Attitude Era came from, people would start watching ECW. I don't think it would have been that easy, but it would have been a step in the right direction. So I think Bischoff takes a lot of the WCW guys, the ECW guys, as many as possible. He wouldn't have gotten Rob Van Dam. He would have gotten Tommy Dreamer, but he would have gotten everybody else. And I think that's a step in the right direction, but I can't answer that question. I mean, if I had to take a guess as to what beats Vince McMahon in 6 months...
To a year. 6 months.
Okay, six months to a year. I say a combination of ECW, youth movement, remember, also, Bischoff was never a fan of tag team wrestling.
Mm.
And it completely owned... Eric Bischoff owned WCW. Tag team wrestling is gone. There's no tag team wrestling. I think you would have seen some different matches, but matches aren't going to cut it as far as beating Vince McMahon. You need a good story. You need a good story. And I don't know what was going to beat Stone Cold Steve Austin versus The Rock. I don't know what...
And 18?
17.
No. We're talking 6 months to a year. That puts us at WrestleMania 18 time. Like I said, Hogan is just about to be given a run.
Okay, so you have Hogan versus The Rock at that point?
At Mania. And it's after that.
Then, okay.
So. And I consider after that some pretty crappy
main events. I mean, Lesnar debuted after that, after the rest of the night, after WrestleMania 18, so you have to contend with that.
I'm just thinking main event. What's the main event that you're pushing? Because remember, at the time, Hogan wins the belt from Triple H at Backlash, drops the title to Taker at what, like, Unforgiven Judgment Day or whatever it was at the time. Didn't have it for very long, but he had the chance. And those were some bad matches. That was like, all right, let's coast the old man through some decent matches. We're going to try, like, that choke slam that my grandmother could have kicked out at two on. So, yeah, that's the time we're competing with.
A feud that I think would get them on the right path, WCW. And, you know, I'm just throwing this out there. I could be completely wrong, but I think Steve Corino and Sean O'Hare. Because if they turn Goldberg heel, like you're saying that they should, or keep him heel, rather, I think a Sean O'Hare-Goldberg match would be horrible.
Yeah.
If they go with my idea where Scott Steiner takes the belt off of Goldberg and then puts over Sean O'Hare, I think a Scott Steiner-Sean O'Hare match is horrible. If it's long, if it's short, it's good enough. So I think it's horrible. So you need a foil. So Sean O'Hare's loved.
How's Chavo supposed to barbecue without foil?
He's not doing it. So you need that foil that's going to... You need... It's kind of like man needs Lex Luthor. Yeah. Sean O'Hare needs that foil, and if they've got Steve Corino, I think it's a hell of a way to do it. Steve Corino can irritate people like nobody's business. The only thing is, as good as that match could be, because I think Steve Corino would be a good wrestler that not only is he a heel that people want to pay to see get beat up, but he'd also be able to really work with Sean O'Hare and say, okay, this is what you do, this is what you don't do, listen to me and everything will be fine. Mm-hmm. So I think the matches would get better and better as they went along. But on top of as good as that program could be, you need a hell of a story. Mm-hmm. You really do.
Well, I guess I'll end it with mine. You know what? This is a no-fail situation here. And that is, there's one thing the WWE doesn't have, never had. Sting. And you put Sting in the main event with the only man that could sell tickets with him. More tickets than anybody. And that's Zeus with Brell.
Oh, goodness. Oh,
this is the Body Slam Podcast. I'm Todd. This is Ryan and Atlee.
Follow us on Twitter at Body Slam Podcast.
Check out NCW Friday Night Fights, Friday, April 11th at the Norwood Lodge of Elks, 152 Winslow Ave, Norwood, Massachusetts. Check out thencw.com.
And tune in to PZ Wrestling this week, or Project Zero Wrestling Television, because I kiss Atlee's ass all over this episode, I think, while also trying to regain some of my own the huevos.
This is true.
Yes. PZWrestling.com.
But again, please follow us on Twitter at BodySlamPodcast, and please email us if you have any questions, BodySlamPodcast@gmail.com.
We might just do another one of these.
We might do another one of these, and one more time, I want to thank Rayvon Adamson for sending us the question. Thank you very much. Thank you for listening. See y'all next time.
Let the brels be brels.